Good morning. Good to see everybody. Happy Father's Day. Come on. Is Jim Keane present? Where's Jim at? Oh, he's not in here. Okay, I do win. All right. I have 8 kids. You have less. So, woo! If Jim Keane was in here, he's got one more than me. So, anybody else have more than 8 kids? I mean, it is Oh, come on now. How many? 9. Never mind. It's not a competition. It's fine. Hey, listen, just like my dad just said, it's the most incredible and powerful experience that I've ever experienced. But I want to say to you right out the gate here, listen, our Father in heaven is the one we celebrate. We get to celebrate, you know, each of the transition in generations. We get to honor those who've gone before us. Always worth doing so. Always. It's worth blessing those who've gone before you. There's an inheritance for you in that. There's life in that for you. And it's always worth standing in the gap and raising up the next generation. We are a bridge. And if we live our lives this way, to honor those who've gone before us and lift up those who've come after, like there will be great life flowing through ours. And our lives will have truly impacted and mattered. Are you with me? Our Heavenly Father is the one we celebrate, right? And he's had more kids than any of us, right? So, ha, ha, ha. I want to open us in prayer right now. We're going to jump in the Word. It's going to be a powerful morning. I hope you're ready. So would you join me? Father, we thank you for your presence. God, that you're with us, that you are in this people, you're upon this people, you're with us, you go before us, you come behind, you surround us on every side. We move and have our being in you. Lord, we look with anticipation, with hope-filled eyes at your smiling face, for your countenance is full of joy towards us. That joy is because of the victory of Jesus. That joy that we are adopted in, that we are one with you, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning that you would make us one, that you would help us to see who you made each of us individually to be. And, Lord, we come to recognize how amazing, how powerful, how wonderful it is to be connected, Lord, to this family. And so, Father, this morning on Father's Day, we bless you, our Holy Father. Come on, all of us had fathers who were less than, right? We all tried our best, but we fall short of the reality of who our Father in heaven is. He is the ultimate. He's better than you think. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you would reveal him today. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. Holy Spirit, reveal who our God is. I thank you for that, Lord. I bless our time today. I pray that it would be filled with joy, marked with joy, an awakening in people's hearts today. We pray these things right now. In Jesus' name, you've dared to agree with that, you said. Amen. Amen. Come on. Just by way of hands, if you're visiting today, Dad invited you to come to church and you came, just wave at me real quick. Just you can be like, anybody? No? Yes, come on, man. Yeah, there's a few of us. Listen, you've done your dad proud. Thanks for being here. Hopefully, I know. I know that when we bring the family of God together, that the Lord reveals himself. And so it doesn't matter where you come from, where your background is at, you're not here today by accident. God is drawing and he's doing something among us, and we're so glad that you're here. All right, you guys ready? Okay, I have 8 kids. Our oldest is a boy. His name is Josiah. He's in here somewhere. Josiah, there he is in the back. Yeah, all right, there you go. Our oldest, he just graduated from high school, right? He's 18. He's the man of the household. Josiah was our firstborn, so it's me and him against the world. And then from that point forward, I had seven girls. Right? Josiah and I got together, decided to start a women's ministry, and the rest is history. Right? My girls, though, my goodness, fierce, right? These are some powerful, powerful ladies, and I'm so proud to be their daddy. But each one of them are independent. Each one of them are so unique. Each one have their own special mixture of identity. Okay, I was hoping at least one of them would somewhat be like me. Right? I figure, you know, you roll the dice eight times, you're going to get at least one that's kind of like you, right? Not so in our household. Okay, you know, you can tell they're my kids, right? The eyes, the smile, the nose. I have some funky Spock-like ears, right? They come to a point right here. And so when you see my kids, you look at them, look at their ears. Yep, they're mine, okay? Dominant feature, right? There it is. All eight of them, though, between Nicole and I, and these eight independent, beautifully strong, powerful individuals, all are unique. I mean, totally unique. They have a different mixture of passion and desire towards the future. They envision their lives differently. They live their lives, although they're under the same household, under the same law, under the same value system. You know, raised in the faith, my kids love the Lord. This is, there's not any of those independent things that would show up as, wow, I wonder what happened there, right? This isn't, our family is beautiful, it is wonderful, it is fearfully and wonderfully mixture of mom and I and God, and then you get to see the kiss of the divine in each of them. I can see where God's touching their lives. Same with you. If I sat down with you and we began to have a discussion and I started pulling on your passions, your dreams, we would find out how amazingly independent and wonderfully unique you are to the world, right? The idea of every person's fingerprints being different. Every, you know, like the snowflakes, each snowflake is absolutely independently different. Listen, I really truly believe that there is a piece of the image of God that you display that no one else can. That God wrote your DNA, that he sang you into being, that you're his happy song, and it's totally unique. The person that God made you to be is beautiful, and it's worth celebrating. My children, each of them, when I look at each one of them, I can tell you that's as a dad, I know them so well that we could be in a dark room, shut off all the lights, no light at all, and one of them says one word, and I could tell you as a father, I know what mood they're in. I know which one it was. I can tell you how much sleep they got the night before. I know so many things about my kids just from the slightest of clues. It doesn't take much for dad to know. Right? Not using any spiritual gifts. That's cheating. I'm just saying I know my kids. I love the fact that there are pieces of their personality that come out and like, you know, Nikki and I play a game. When one of them is being a snot nose, we're like, oh, that was you, right? And you should repent because you can see it manifesting in our kids. I love seeing little glimpses of, you know, their independence. At the same time, it's this mixture. It's beautiful and strong and wonderful. I love seeing that. Can I tell you the thing that I am after the most for my kids? Jealous over it. I want each one of them to fully become who God made them to be. I mean, truly. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to live that. It's easier when all of us think the same, right? What do we want to eat tonight? And everybody comes with the same answer, right? No argument, no, that's just simple, right? Obviously, right? I like that. It's easy, but it's not real. I enjoy the fact that there is some agreement sometimes. We visit agreement every once in a while, at least once a year on my birthday. Like, I like it when we touch that, but I know that if that moment extends beyond where people are choosing that, choosing to conform into my image, I know they're pretending. I know that if I set the law and I set the structure and I set the standard, I know that as dad, I can enforce the standard and I can demand behavior up to the bar that I'm demanding. I know I can do that. I have permission to do that, right? It's my household. I'm paying the bills, right? It's my way or the highway. Right, I could do that, but how many know that when you do that, the life gets stolen right out of the relationship? It's not real. It's not authentic. Right? When I demand that my child says, you know, we're going to say goodnight, and it's one of the standards in our household. You give hugs, right? Mom and dad bless, and we pray for them each night and declare the blessing of the Lord over them. And there's sort of a routine to it. When they're in a bad mood, I say, all right, I love you. And then I wait for it. And I wait for it. Right? If it doesn't come back, I go, I love you. I love you too, Dad. Right? There are some standards worth holding. Why? Because they're true. And the lie is the degrading of that fact. Love exists in our household. We do actually love each other. And even though you might not be feeling it, there are some standards that are worth holding up and saying, no, what is true? We're going to hold this line. We're actually going to call you into a higher standard than you're behaving in right now. Nothing wrong with that. That actually helps us all. But if I express control in terms of their personalities, I express control. Listen, no, everybody loves pepperoni and green olive pizza. But Dad, I don't know. You love it. We're going to eat this, right? And you're going to like it. Right? At some point, I begin to run over their little personalities. I begin to demand something out of them that's no longer authentic. You know this one, right? It's happened to you. You've done it to others. And in that exchange, the violence and the degree of control we express actually steals the life out of the relationship. It's no longer real. When it's not real, it's not worth anything. Does anybody in here actually enjoy Minnesota nice? The southern version of it is, oh, bless your heart. Right? It's the smile on your face. How's everything going? Good. Yeah? How's your family? Good. How's the job? Good. And you? Oh, I'm doing good as well. Nice. Nice to see you again. Okay, yeah, we'll see you next week. Did I just describe like 90% of your conversations in the lobby? Time for tune-up here, right? Listen, authenticity allows for something real to exist. If you're pretending, there's no chance of anything real coming. Authenticity risks to put your true self out there, to tell the truth about how you are, how you're doing, to tell the truth about what you like, what you don't like, to tell the truth and actually be who you are. There's risk involved there because it might be that others don't like the same things and now you have disagreement. Oh, what do we do with disagreement? We're all trying to conform to be the same person, right? Isn't that the goal of Christianity? We all fit in the box. We all look the same, dress the same. I heard someone talk about unity once. And because unity in the body of Christ, unity in the church, it's important. And he asked the question, well, why? Why is it important? Well, because. Why? Because. Now, why is it important to you? What's unity? You only define unity. Oh, well, we're all in agreement. We're all walking together. We're all, No. Unity is a lot like a symphony. Different instruments, different sounds, different expressions, different, all different, but walking together, choosing to be together under the direction of a leader. Right? That choice is a powerful choice, but if the trombone's trying to pretend to be the trumpet, we have a problem here. Yeah? I mean, come on, if we would have got up here and Dan was playing the keys over there, decided to play all the parts that, you know, that the electric guitar was supposed to be playing, and we have people trying to be and sound like and express the way that others are supposed to express and be and what's authentic to that instrument, we have people trying to pretend to do that, what kind of noise would that be? It would be noise. It would not be good. What's important to the authentic expression, the actual life flow, is that each person expresses and does what's authentic to them. Now, my family is unique as the day is long, and I know each one of them. I know what they're like. I could describe for you today. I did first service. I won't in this service. But each one of them are independent and strong and wonderful and beautiful. And if I came home one day to find them trying to be like another one of them, if my son decided he was going to try to be like his sibling, if my daughter decided that instead of being the creative force and perfectionist that she is, that she's going to try to just hang and go loose and just be like a fashion expert and shift over in this whole nother persona. How many know that dad would smell that a mile away, that we're pretending? It's not real. It doesn't take much, does it? Can I tell you what would be a tragedy? Is if on the day that I pass from this earth, that my children feel relieved because they get to stop pretending and stop living up to dad's expectations. Because if your expectations for somebody are controlling them and keeping them in that place, and they never actually get to be who they are in your presence, wow, the relationship's not real. One of the greatest dreams in my heart is that my kids become who they're supposed to be, fully express it, fully become them. Are you alive today? Come on. What if you stopped pretending? What would happen? I mean, you stop pretending. Turns out I don't like pepperoni green olive pizza, Dad. Get out. What would happen? Okay, what if you stopped hiding? What if you stopped pretending to people? What if you started actually being you? Ooh, it'd be risky, wouldn't it? You might lose some relationships. Why? Because you might find they might not like you. That's kind of hard. It's harsh. It's a little scary, isn't it? Isn't it funny? Our fear of the potential of what someone might think about us keeps us in line. Wow. My friends, that is not what your Father in heaven wants of you. I am an earthly father, and I love to see my kids express and become fully who they're meant to be. And let me tell you, it's different than dad. And I have great joy in that. Your heavenly Father, this is what Jesus said about him. This is John chapter 4, verse 23. Yeah, you ready? I'm not sure you are. Here we go. An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Your Father is pursuing people who will behave in this. Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Spirit is this. It is the breath. It's the congruency of your heart position coming out of your mouth. When Jesus spoke, it was spirit because it was absolutely true. True to the core of who he was. He wasn't just blowing wind. Right? He wasn't making people feel good just using words. He was speaking authentically from who he was. And because he did that, there was power released. They marveled at him. Wow, you're speaking with someone as someone with authority. There's weight on your words. Truth. It's not the word for integrus, or it's not the word for fact. Facts is a completely different word. Truth is better put as authentic. Truth, as in it is actually true to you. It is really who you are. And when you, really who you are, in the depth of your being, begin to give voice or breath to the authentic voice that's inside of you, that's what your Father wants. Your Father's seeking after that. That's what your Father wants. He didn't want you coming to church pretending. There's no points in heaven for being here today. None. You don't get any points. Doesn't count. There's no benefit to pretending to be religious. None. There's no benefit to you pretending to be Christian. It's none. I mean, seriously, you might as well not. There's no benefit. It doesn't do you any good. Authentic is what your Father is after. Authentic. I love King David, the stories of King David. King David is, I mean, seriously, today, in today's economy, I'm guessing that he would have been labeled manic. This dude was not stable. King David, I mean, read the Psalms. I love the Psalms. The Psalms are like, it's like riding roller coasters, like going to a theme park. Wee-oo. David can be in one moment in like utter the pits. My enemies are against me. Oh God, where are you? Everyone hates me. I'm eating worms, God. Right? David can be in that moment in one verse, and three verses later, he's like, I'm dirt. I'm lower than dirt. God, where are you? But I remember this one time when you broke in and you helped me. And as he begins to remember who God is, he goes from, oh, woe is me, to, I remember when you did this one time, and now I will triumph over my enemies, and I will slay them down, and the glory of God will rest on Israel. Like, okay, I don't think God's saying, yeah, let's all do that, okay? But God looked at David and went, there's somebody after my own heart. He's real. He's authentic. Saul's over there pretending, putting up a front, pretending to be the prophet and religious guy, pretending to please the people, but is inwardly so insecure. He's insecure because he's pretending. My friends, insecurity is going to rob you. And can I tell you the reason why you're insecure about things is because you're just not sure who you really are. And that's unnecessary. You really can be sure. Your God loves you so much. Your Father in heaven knows you better than you know yourself. But you got to let him start to tell your story. If you interact with him in this way, he'll start to tell your story. And next thing you know, you will find out who he made you to be. And that insecurity, that fear, the fact that you're having to hide, the fact that you're having to dress up something that's not true to who you are, all that goes away. Authenticity is what God is after. True worshipers, where their real insides are actually pursuing the Father. Really? Are you alive? Now, when we start talking about this, we are talking about light and darkness. Okay? This is, whoa. That was weird, right? okay? That wasn't, we didn't plan that. This is Isaiah 60, okay? If you got a Bible, turn there. It's, we'll put up on the screen as well, Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise and shine, your light has come. Everybody say, your light has come. Okay, that's Jesus. Jesus is the light. He has come, okay? He is revealed. He's the light. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, a deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This concept of light and darkness, this is something, I hear people talking about this, but I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing, okay? When we talk about light, we're talking about revelation. When you turn the light on, you get to see things. When you turn the light on, the stuff that was hidden isn't hidden anymore. It's obvious to all when the light comes. When the spirit of revelation comes to you, it's like turning the light on, where God begins to show you clearly about yourself, about Jesus. There's no confusion anymore, and there's no insecurity. The reason there's no insecurity is because you know. You know where you stand. You know him. You know you. You know. Why? Because the light. Light did that. Light revealed. But light can be kind of scary sometimes. Okay, and the reason that light is scary, especially for people that are, you're not feeling it, you're a little insecure, you're not sure, is because if the light turns on, you're like, what are we going to find here? I remember the first time that I interacted with a prophet, okay, and it was this men's group. I was being mentored by this pastor, and he was going to bring in a prophet friend of his, and the group began to talk, and we all knew he was coming in the next week, and so the group began to talk, like, make sure you confess all your sin before you come back here next week. Like, he'll call you out. Right? I had never interacted with anybody prophetic before, which, by the way, is a totally ridiculous notion, because that's not what prophecy is for, okay? But that's another sermon. But so this, they're talking about this. Oh, you better be sure, right? He's going to see you. He'll know you. Like, he walk in the room and smell the sin. Like, just, we laughing because it's so stupid, okay? Religious, it's nonsense, okay? Any prophet that behaves like that, honestly, ought to get tossed out of churches. It's not helpful at all. Okay, well, yeah. So anyway, this setup is coming, right? And everyone's scared. Why is everyone scared? Because the spirit of revelation is going to come. And we knew that we were going to know and be known. And the fear was that somehow the things that are wrong will be exposed. Is that true? Yeah, might be. When the light turns on, you might see some things that are wrong. You might. Do you know what I find out the most of the time, though, when you turn the light on, is your insecurities about who you are go away. Because once you see yourself for who God actually made you to be, you'll never want to be anybody else. When you see, when you get a glimpse of who God actually says you are, all of a sudden, whoo, I want to be that dude. That's who I want to be when I grow up. Right? I don't need to front. I don't need to pretend to be my dad. I don't need to pretend to be somebody else that I'm impressed by. I'm not trying to be anybody else, because as soon as I see who God says I am, my real identity, I would never want to be anybody else. Light reveals. When the scripture says that the world will lie in darkness, there will be a darkness upon the peoples. But in contrast to that, you'll have light on you, and nations will stream to you because of your light. What's that talking about here? Darkness is ignorance. It's not evil. Please don't, when you read this in the scriptures, darkness and light, we're not talking about evil and good. We're talking about ignorance. When someone is in darkness, they just don't know. They haven't been exposed to the light. They don't know what the truth is. And so they're interpreting their circumstances based off of what they know, and all it is just feeling around through life. That's a hard way to live. When there's a deep darkness over people, we're talking about an ignorance about who God is. They don't know. They don't know how he's good. They don't know how that God will respond to them in their time of trouble. They don't know how to relate. That's what darkness does to people. It isolates people. It keeps them from becoming who God actually made them to be. Light and darkness. Don't think good and evil. Think revealed and ignorant. They just don't know. In ignorance, people often get deceived and make evil choices. That happens. It's possible that someone doesn't know, or they grew up in an environment, or they've had lies told to them, and they are thinking incorrectly, and so when they go to make a decision, it actually is a decision that's motivated by evil. But the root of it is ignorance of God. Because if you saw who God is, if a person got a glimpse of his goodness and his kindness, they would never, never choose to go back to the pain that they're coming from. A person won't go back to addiction once they see themselves accurately and see God accurately. Why? Because addiction often is rooted in pain or control, and you won't need to do either of those things. You won't have to cover up pain, you won't have to medicate, and you won't have to lie to yourself anymore. It all goes away when you see. The greatest moment of darkness expressed in human history is when Lucifer himself embodied a man and drove the Son of God to the cross to murder him. It's the epitome of evil. To take the Son of God, the goodness. Now, you and I know the victory that was hidden in that. But they didn't. The devil thought he's winning. There Jesus is, hanging on the cross, put there by Lucifer. There Jesus is in the epitome of evil, having evil done to him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They did not know what they're doing. Even in the greatest form of evil, the root of it was darkness and light. Someone didn't know. Because had they actually seen, had they actually known, the scripture says it very plainly. They would not have crucified Jesus had they known who he was. They wouldn't have. They never would have. What am I saying to you, friends? You've made decisions. I've made decisions based out of ignorance. You have. I have. Those decisions hurt people, separate us from relationships. Those decisions make us feel distant from God, there's all sorts of things that those kind of decisions do. But here we are today sitting here having received the mercy of Jesus. And that mercy of Jesus, his blood, speaks a better word. Okay, your life has been redeemed. The sin stuff has been placed out of the way, canceled through Jesus' covenant with you. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. That has nothing to do with your behavior. That was what Jesus did. It's the victory of the cross. But what happens to us when we do dumb? You hide. Is God the first person you run into when you make a bad choice? Isn't that funny? There's something in us. We don't want to be seen. In your relationship with somebody, if you hurt, if you did something, and you know it's going to hurt them, you know. To go to them and talk to them about it, you know there's going to be cost to this relationship. But to continue to pretend is the death of the relationship already. There's no life or anything real in it unless you're being true. I want to read the Passion Translation. This is Psalms 139. This is what God thinks about you. By the way, there's going to be an aha moment here in a couple minutes, and your brain's going to go on tilt, but you'll still be here and you'll be alive, so just don't worry, okay? This is Psalms 139. Start in verse 1. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. I want you to hear your Father. It's like you're saying these things, okay? I want you to see this. It's your Father in heaven talking about you. You talking about him, this experience, okay? Put your heart in this place. You know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it ever even entered my mind. That's knowing somebody. You're so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I'll take even before my journey begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Phew. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. It's just too wonderful, deep, incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings wonder and strength. God knows you so much. He knows you. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting for me. Wherever I go, your hand guides me. Your strength empowers me. It is impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There is no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside, my intricate outside. You wove them together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. Listen, this passage goes on and on. Darkness, ignorance, does not change anything. Your God is not ignorant about who you really are. You could fool everybody else. You can't fool him. He knows you. Do you know that he sang you into being? You're his happy song. He formed you, has had more thoughts about you than the sand of the seashore. Intentionally has put you together. He knows who you are, and he has intentions for your life. Like my kids, like talking about to my son about his future plans and the things that he wants to do. Can I tell you, I know when he's sharing something that is congruent with who he is, and I know when he says something that's it doesn't fit. I'm just an earthly dad. My job as a father is to help my kids see who God made them to be. My job as a pastor is to do that with you guys. I love doing that, by the way. Sitting down with people, help them to discover the part of the body they are, the grace, the gifts that are on their life, and that discovery. I love that discovery because all of a sudden, a person who is feeling insecure and, man, do I even have anything to contribute, becomes strong and empowered because they can see, wait a second, I have something to contribute. It's so powerful, the transformation that takes place. Your Father can do that for you. He gave you his Holy Spirit so that you would always continuously have a coach. Your best life is ahead of you. It's the one where you being born of the Spirit begin to trust what God says about you and begin to believe what God says about you. It's where you begin to let go of what the world has said, what your family has said, what people that didn't know you have said, where you begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. You are stinking amazing. If you could see, I know you don't believe me yet, but if you could just catch a glimpse of who God really made you to be, you would never want to be anybody else. Wow. Oh, okay. No. It's fine. Come on. That didn't count. Okay, ready? This is where we're going to land the plane today. It's here's your aha moment. Ready? One of the ruling council, the Pharisee, comes to Jesus. He comes at night. Why does he come at night? This is John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? He didn't want anybody else to know he was there, right? He's trying to hide. Darkness. He's trying to keep others ignorant of the fact that he's having a conversation with Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you came from God as a teacher. The Pharisees are admitting that Jesus came from God. That's a wild one. No one could do the miraculous signs you're doing, right? Nicodemus is fishing. You ever had a conversation with somebody you knew that what they were talking to you about is not what they're there to talk to you about? Welcome to my world. Can I tell you? I'll be straight up with you face to face as well. But when you come in my office and you're like, hey, PJ, I just wanted to talk to you about, I know you're lying. I know there's something else there, right? You skirt around it. That happens with our kids. We know, right? And you can smell it. You can feel it. You know when that's Jesus' moment right now. Nicodemus is coming like, hey, your teacher came from God. We know this about you. And Jesus is like, he goes, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Was he asking that? No. Right? Jesus cut straight to it. He went, listen, you want to know some things and you can't know them. Why? Because you're not born again. You have to be born of the Spirit if you're going to understand what Pastor Jamie is saying to you today. Your journey to your authentic self starts with Spirit. No way around it. You need the Spirit. Once you have the Spirit, once you're born of the Spirit, now your life really begins. Your true self will emerge when you get real about spirituality. You can't touch it without it. The real you, you could spend 70, 80 years trying to be somebody big and impressive, thinking that you're becoming who you're supposed to be. And then you get born again and you meet the person of the Holy Spirit. You're a spirit man comes alive on the inside and you will discover just how ignorant you have been your whole life. The person who is a believer and then ignores the spirituality of his life and tries to build something for himself will in the end have great regrets about their life. Because the real you only comes to play when the spirit side is engaged. You're not just a human being. You are created to live and dwell for eternity. You're a spiritual being. Come on, are you alive? That's what Jesus is saying to him. And he goes, whoa, how can this be? Jesus goes, you're Israel's teacher. What are you talking about? How can you not know these things? You have to be born of spirit if you are going to enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus flips the script and he says, I'm about to be like the serpent that Moses hung up in the wilderness, crucified. He tells this to Nicodemus. He said, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up like Moses in the wilderness with the serpent. He tells him, I'm going to be crucified. And anyone who's willing to believe in me will be born again. Anyone who's willing to acknowledge, to look, and to see, to make the transition through Christ Jesus' death and resurrection, you will be born again, born of spirit. And here's your aha moment. Ready? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. You got that part. Verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world could be saved through him. Jesus did not come to judge the world. End of sentence. Jesus did not come to judge the world. He who believes in Jesus is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Check this out. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. What's the judgment then? This is the judgment. That light has come into the world. But men loved the darkness rather than the light. People love the story they tell themselves way more than the truth. People love that you believe the story you tell about yourself. You do, and you love it. And when someone challenges your story, ooh, that doesn't feel good, does it? How dare you judge me? No, they're not judging you. The light is. The only reason you feel defensive is because your story's not true, and you know it. But you don't know where it's not true. You're insecure, and if you come into the light, then you'll see who you really are. But as long as you remain ignorant to who you really are, there will remain this, I'm not sure I really want to be exposed. I'm not sure I really want you to know me. I'm not sure that I really want to be known. Men love the story that they were telling themselves way more than they love the truth, the light. Here's the judgment. Light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds, turns out, were not congruent with God's nature. Everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light because they're afraid that the person that they've been saying they are isn't really who they are. Because the deeds that they've been doing isn't authentic. It's not actually who you're called to be. And so I don't want you poking in my stuff. I don't want to find out. I'm afraid of finding out. When your fear manifests as hatred, you'll push back. You'll get defensive. You'll get angry with people that poke around. Somebody that questions your motive, you'll wonder. You'll get frustrated. All these manifestations, and all of them are to protect what? What are you protecting? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid if somebody really got to know you? What are you afraid of? Oh man, Pastor Jamie, if I tell them my real story, then they won't want to be friends with me. They're already not friends with you. It's not real. It's not real. But if I let the light shine, if I let people really see me, if I let people really know my story, if I let people really know where I'm at, then will God love me? I think you have the Sunday school answer there. I think you know that. Will God forgive me? I think you know that one too. Will people forgive me? Will people judge me? Will people separate themselves from me? What happens to me if I tell the truth? If I let you really see me? If I put my armor down? If I stop putting my Minnesota nice face on? See, it's the privilege of getting older is that you stop caring what people think. Right? I said this is the first service. You know, that neighbor of yours you lived next to for 40 years, and now he's yelling at your kids to get off your lawn. He's been yelling at you for 40 years. He just didn't open his mouth before. He always hated that you were on his lawn. It's just go ahead and take care of the bushes. No, he always hated you running. He's just finally telling the truth. What if we chose not to live like that? What if we let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all unrighteousness? What if we walked in the light as he is in the light? What if we got real? What would happen? See, if Jesus came into this world and he's not judging you, but light comes into this world and it exposes, the judgment is this, that you find out whether you're actually in the light or not. And that light tells you, because if you resist telling your story for real, then you are lying to yourself and you're lying to others. And worst of all, you're probably pretending before God as well. It's not real. You're playing church. Stop. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If, however, you come into the light, see, when you know, when you go, man, I think this is who God made you to be, because I've said this before, but I want to say it again. If you would actually see who God made you to be, the real you, you would never want to be anybody else. You wouldn't settle for it. You wouldn't pretend. You wouldn't feel like you have to put on anything. You could just be you. You'd be excited about being you. But something in us, it's like we got to impress, I need someone to accept me before I feel okay about myself. I'm needing you to believe in me more than I believe in me. Listen, that ain't going to happen. You don't believe in yourself. You don't even know who you are. How do you come? The light of heaven will reveal who you are. If you will come into the light, if you will come to your Father, if you will believe what I'm saying today, your Father knows everything about you. Stop hiding from Him. When you mess up, come to Him. Dad, I screwed up again. What do you say about this? Man, I had this happen to me a couple weeks ago. It was just a rough moment. I was having a really rough week emotionally. I was up and down. I was having a very difficult time. I was facing some things in my inner world, And I remember this moment so distinctly. I just came to the Father. I was like, God, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm all over the place emotionally. I'm really struggling. I have some pain that's deep, and I don't know where it's at. Like, God, where am I at right now? And He just said, oh, son, I wish that you would know how much I love you. And I sat there, and I just waited on it, and I was like, okay, I'm experiencing these things because for some reason I am not connecting with the reality that my Father is really present with me in this, and He really loves me. And He's not trying to change me. He's not trying to fix me. He's not trying to tell me what to do. He's not trying to order my life. He's not trying to get you to do anything. He's really with you in it, and He really loves you. And as soon as you see that, you'll stop pretending. If you stop pretending and you really worship God and you do, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. It's 1 John 1:5. God is light. There is no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we continue to lie to ourselves, walk in darkness. We lie. We don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say that we don't have sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we haven't sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. Friends, what am I saying this morning? Just be you. Everyone else is taken. I'm being serious. Let the real you come forth. Quit pretending. Quit trying to be religious. God really loves you. Jesus really did save you. All that stuff. Just be you. Get real with it. Talk to your Father about it. Stay in process. Talk with each other. Don't hide. Don't hide. If you hide, you'll cut off people. You'll cut yourself off from life. But if you'll get real and you'll share and you'll live like this, oh, you're about to live your best life ever. Yes. It takes a lot more energy to keep lying than it does just to be you. Let me tell you, listen, my wife and I have a rock solid relationship, and she knows me. She travels with me on this road of, you know, my own ups and downs. I'm a bit like David too, right? Like, but I have no fear in my wife's presence. The reason I have no fear is because she truly knows me and I know her. This intimacy is into me you see. It's this living connectedness. And that is what the Lord wants from you to him and from us towards each other. If we'll choose this, seriously, this body will mature and there will be a life that flows through us it's what the world longs for. It's what the world longs for. I believe in you. I think you're way, way, way more awesome than you realize. I do. Would you stand to your feet today? You want to give the ultimate Father's Day gift to God? Just be you. Be. There's three kinds of people in this room today. We're closing in prayer right now, okay? If you came in here today and you say to me, I've never been born again. I haven't even started this spirit life. That's where you got to start. You got to be born again. You need to receive the Spirit. That happens as you put your faith in Christ. Spirit will be born in you. You will be born of Spirit. Your life will change forever. If you'd say to me, Pastor Jamie, I came in here today. I'm not sure I've ever done that before, but I really want that. I want to start that journey. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray with you right now. Is anybody in here you're saying today is the day? I'm going to surrender. I want to be born again today. Anybody? Whole bunch of saved folks up in here. Yeah, come on, man. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. I see you. Anybody else? Second group of people are those who you got saved a while ago. You know Jesus, but you know you haven't been living a spirit life. You've sort of been doing your own thing. Instead of pursuing who God's trying to make you to be, who you are, your authentic self, you've just been doing the world thing, chasing after what the world offers, all that. If that's you, but you're wanting to get back on this journey, if that's you today, just wave at me, okay? You're just re-signing up. Today's the day. It's re-surrender. Yeah, come on. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah, come on, man. Yes. The third group of people is this. It is a new day. And there's a fresh baptism of His Holy Spirit for today. And we want more because it's a brand new day. Okay, if you're in that bank, would you wave at me? Yes, all right. We're all going to pray the same prayer. Listen, it's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of receiving. If you're praying to receive Christ for the first time today, you want to be born again, you pray this prayer. If you're surrendering and you're coming back to the Lord, it's the same prayer. Listen, spirit life. If you want to be baptized afresh, listen, it's about surrender again and honestly pursuing Him once again. So would you pray with me right now? Father in heaven, come on, every voice, Father in heaven. Thank you for sending Jesus, that He died in my place on the cross. And today I surrender my life to His Lordship. Please forgive me for violating your covenant, believing the lies. Today I repent. Come to you humbly. Please wash me. Please cleanse me. Make me new. I invite your Holy Spirit to fill me. Make me born again, again. There you go. You gotta say it twice. Again, again. Yeah. Holy Spirit, baptize me. Empower me. Give me divine strength to become the person you made me to be. Open my eyes that I can see clearly who you say I am. Open my ears that I might follow your voice. Holy Spirit, right now I'm asking that you would come and you would fill and flood each person with light. For those who have been hiding, my friends, your first step is go find someone safe to talk with. And I want you to confess. Listen, if you got some bombshells that are hiding, you know that these are really big deals. It's not something, we're not going to line everybody up in front of the congregation, right? But you need to have people that you can be real with. You got to start to confess. Let people in. If you don't have somebody, come see one of us elders. We would love to walk you through mercy, okay? You got to get real. Your journey starts there. The spirit life is one that is active and real, and I'm telling you, these days are filled with activity. The Holy Spirit wants to engage you. So, Father, I pray that you would awaken their dream life, that they would hear your voice at night, they go to sleep, and have heaven interacting. God, I pray that every time they open the Bible, that your voice would be so clear for them, that they would see and know, and that your angels, Lord, would be ministering and leading them into good works, that they would truly discover who you made them to be in this season. I pray, Father, for an awakening unto the gifts of the Spirit and unto the body gifts, that each one here would come to know, Lord, who you've made them to be. God, I bless this church. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion. Father, I bless them right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his countenance and favor be risen upon you and grant you the shalom of heaven, his peace. And everybody who dared to agree with that said, come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today?